Turn with me back to the book of Genesis, chapter 21, if you will. I've entitled this message tonight, Who Would Have Said? Who Would Have Said? And I got that out of what Sarah said in the 7th verse. And she said, Who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. The Lord delivered Abraham and Sarah from a very sad situation whenever Abraham told the king that Sarah was his sister. It was a prearranged agreement, and Abraham, because of her beauty at 90 years old, was afraid that he would be taken and killed for her. And the Lord delivered him. And now, in this chapter 21, we want to consider the account, something that happened after Abraham was delivered by God and blessed of the Lord to receive recompense. And now the Lord has been pleased to bring forth the promise that He had given to Abraham and Sarah concerning a son. It says in verse 1, And the Lord visited Sarah, as He had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as He had spoken. Now, we've got this blessed assurance concerning the accomplishment of God's will and God's work. And that accomplishment is set forth in two parts, two phrases in this particular verse right here. It says, number one, and the Lord visited Sarah. Now listen to this. As He had said. And then it says, and the Lord did unto Sarah as He had spoken. Now here's the fulfillment of the promise and the blessing of waiting upon the Lord. How many times in Scripture do we hear that? Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. God does as God says. The Lord brings about His will. And Isaac was conceived absolutely according to God's promise. Now this is the foundation of our hope. When the Lord says, I will, you shall. I shall, you will. Do you know what that means? It means He will, and we shall. Luke 21:33 says, Heaven and earth shall pass away. Now, what do you think the possibility of heaven and earth passing away is? 100%. Heaven and earth shall pass away. Well, where's the promise of His coming? Scoffers say up to this day right here, everything is just like it has been. But my words shall not pass away. None that wait upon the Lord ever wait in vain. The answer or the timing of His answer may not be according to our thoughts, may not be according to our carnal desires, but his answer is always established on the stable, firm, sure reality of his word, his power. And this is comforting to the sheep. Here's what we know. When he says, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. Oh, that God would teach me that, Mitch. That I can remember. Romans 8:28. And we know. Here's a sure foundation. And we know that all things. Okay, now what happened today? Whatever happened, whatever you went through, whatever I went through. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Well, I don't really see how this could work for my good. That's okay. God's Word stands sure. The Lord is our resting place. He's our portion in the midst of this fleeting world, and we have an anchor of our soul. Here's what it is. The Word of God. Back up everything you believe with this Word right here. If you can't find it in this Word, don't believe it. But if God Almighty has spoken it, it is our comfort. And the Lord visited Sarah as He had said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as He had spoken. And what was that? Well, look at verse 2. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age. Now listen to this. At the time set of which God had spoken to him. Now, not only does the Lord surely bring about the accomplishment of His purpose, promise. Not only does He do it, but He does it in His own timing. Now, this is where I fail so badly. Things that I think should be, the way that, or the timing that it says, Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the time set of which God had spoken to him. This is what I know. God is punctual. He's punctual. Right on time. Paul said, when it pleased the Lord to reveal His Son in me at the time set. The Lord works all things in this world according to the counsel of His own will, and all things are gloriously being orchestrated. Now, here's something that will comfort us. If you ask me, what do you think about the situation in the world? Well, it's a mess. Really? Well, according to the Word of God, God's working all these things after the counsel of His own will. So who am I, save for one that doesn't believe God's Word, saying this is a mess? It's a mess according to what I see. But it's working together for good to them that love God. You mean with prices being as they are and you can't get anything? Yeah. God is bringing about all that He's purposed, and He's doing it in His own timing. The Scripture reveals concerning Sarah's conception. The Scripture says in Hebrews 11:11, through faith, also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Whenever the Lord was pleased to give Sarah, visit Sarah, come Sarah, cause her to conceive, the Lord gave her faith to believe him. And she believed it. She believed it. And when the time came, according to the Lord's will, God gave the faith that he was pleased to give. Sarah believed God. Verse 3 says, "And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, called him Isaac." Now, in Genesis, turn back to Genesis 17, 19. Genesis 17, 19. "And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him." Now, the Lord had told Abraham not only that he was going to have a son when he was past age, Sarah was past age of a way of women having children. Not only that he was going to have a son, but he said, this is what his name is going to be. "Thou, your wife, shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant with his seed." And when Sarah bore Abraham's son, Abraham was obedient. Obedient to the word of the Lord, and this is what he named him. Isaac. His name is Isaac. Named him according to God's instruction, the very name that God gave him. The Lord said in John 10:27, "My sheep, they hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me." They obey. They come after me. Oh, the intimacy of the Lord toward His people. Listen to this, John 10:3. "The sheep hear His voice, and He calleth His own sheep by name, and leadeth them out." Now just stop for a second and think. You that know Him, you that claim the name of Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ knows your name. "I know my sheep. I call them by name." Oh, the personableness, the intimacy. He knows me. He knows me. I call them by name. The names of His people. Names that were made known to their parents in time. They have a wife, she's conceived, and they're going to have a child, and they don't want to know before, they'll pick a male name and a female name, and they'll well, if it's a boy, we're going to name him this, and if it's a girl, we're going to name her that, so they come to consider names in time. But if this is one of the Lord's own, one that He's everlastingly known in Christ, chosen before the foundation of the world, if that be one of His elect, that name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life from before the foundation of the world. God knew Him. Always knew Him. In verse 4, "And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him." Now, not only had the Lord promised Abraham, back in Genesis 17, a son, but He promised that His son would be the blessed one, according to Abraham's sons, he had Ishmael by a handmaid, but this is the son of promise here. And this is going to be the son that I give you. This is going to be the son in the bloodline of the Messiah. He said, just turn back to 17:9 again. Look, let's read that where we get it. I mean, 17:19. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. Isaac, the son of Abraham, being born of the one of God's choice, God chose him, one according to covenant mercy and grace, he would be the one through whom the Messiah would come. He's going to come through Isaac. And being coming through the bloodline of Isaac, here's what happened. We just read it. It says, verse 4, and Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Now, here's the significance that he circumcised him exactly the way the Lord had given him instruction. Turn to Genesis 17:10-11. Let's look at this again. I want you to look at it. Genesis 17, chapter 17, verses 10-11. I'll read 9, 10, 11. And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant, which you shall keep between me, you, and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. And you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin. It shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. So this circumcision, this was a token. This was an outward show of God's promise of covenant mercy. I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy, compassion on whom I'll have compassion. And whenever the child of promise, this is going to be the son I'm going to give you. This is going to be the one, the son of the covenant. And so when he was born, he circumcised him, just like God told him to do, according to the promise of covenant mercy. This is the establishment. This is our hope. This is our peace right now. What is the comfort that we have? God has made a covenant. It's what David said. This is all my salvation. He hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. Circumcised him. Because God told him, he said, this is the son of the covenant right here. So he circumcised him. Then in verse 5, and Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. Now, you know, I thought about that. He was 100 years old. What mercy that the Lord would tell us how old Isaac was. I mean, how old Abraham was when Isaac was born. No flesh is going to glory in the Lord's sight. Abraham believed God. Romans 4:19 says, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. God promised Abraham that he was going to have a son. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And so here the Spirit of God tells us, he was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born. Eliminating all questions, all doubts. Someone might say, well, I don't know how old he really was. Scripture doesn't say it. 100 years old. What power, what mercy did the Lord exhibit bringing forth a child from a man 100 years old and a woman 90. And what mercy, grace, that the Lord would choose both of them as vessels of His marvelous work. How merciful is the Lord to show us that our strength is none, and His power, life, is all. What could Abraham, 100 years old, and Sarah, 90 years old, humanly speaking, how could they have children? They couldn't. She was past the age. His body was now dead. But God. God. Verse 6, and Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. This passed contrary to the natural laws of childbearing. And the promise had seemed to be so long ago when the Lord first told him, you're going to have a son. But now, here's the fruit. Here's the evidence of God's promise and the utter amazement and enjoyment that was found in Sarah to laugh. You remember when she laughed before. The Lord had come with two of His angels before they went into Sodom, and the Lord said, I'm going to visit. And Sarah's going to bear a son in this next year, time appointed. And Sarah laughed, but she laughed a laugh of doubt, unbelief. But here, Sarah laughs with jubilee, happiness, joy, thankfulness. Not with doubt, not with distrust. But now she says, now, God's made me to laugh, so that all that hear me will laugh with me. And here, in the last verse, here's where I got the title. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. Who would have said? Who would have thought this? Who would have thought? Who in all of the world? Who would have considered to utter such a thing as this? Who would have said that Sarah would give children suck? Who would have ever thought that? Who would have thought that a woman 90 and a husband 100 years old would have a son born beyond the realm of human possibility? Who would have said or thought anything concerning that? But in closing, let me ask us a few questions concerning the mercy and grace and compassion of Almighty God unto unworthy sinners such as we are. Who would have said, who would have thought or considered anything that has been revealed in this book concerning the grace and the mercy and the compassion of Almighty God? Who would have said that poor, helpless sinners would find grace in the eyes of the Lord? Who would have thought that of all the population of the world in the days of Noah, that God looked and saw that every imagination of the thoughts of man was wicked and evil. Continually, he never thought, no one on earth, including Noah, ever thought anything but a wicked thought. None. But Noah found grace. One man. In the eyes of the Lord. And through that man finding grace in the eyes of the Lord, his family benefited from that. Who would have thought? Who would have said that? Who would have said that of all the population of the world? How many? I don't know. But of all the population of the earth, who would have said God's going to show mercy and look upon one man, and that one man is going to find grace in God's eyes? Who would have said that? Who would have said that Almighty God would be so particular to look upon one man, and by His good pleasure, He would save the population of the world that would come from Him? One man. Who would have said that by the good pleasure of God? I was looking at something today, and this article that I was looking at, it said this: why do so many Christians refute the doctrines of grace? Why do so many Christians refute the gospel of God's free and sovereign grace? You know what I thought? I don't know any Christians that refute that. None of them. Almighty God, the Scripture reveals that God Almighty, because, as He told Moses, "Show me Your glory." He said, "Here's My glory. Here it is. I will have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. And I will have compassion on whom I'll have compassion." I told you before, so many times, the Spirit of God moved upon the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 9 to quote that Scripture. And then Paul added, under God's direction, "So then it's not of him that willeth, him that runneth, but God that showeth mercy." Now let me ask you this. Who would have said? Who would have said that God was pleased to choose a remnant out of every nation, people, tribe, and tongue? Who would have said that? That God, before the foundation of the world, chose the people and put them in His Son. Put them in Christ. Who would have said that the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world for the sake of His elect? "Call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins." Who would have said that when He went to Calvary, that He laid down His life for the sheep? Now I know what the world says. I know what they say. He died for everybody's sin. There's a little pamphlet out in the vestibule, and it said, I'm sure I won't get it right, but it said either when the Lord died, either He died for all of the sins of all the people, which He said He didn't, or He died for some of the sins of all the people, which means that all men are still answerable, or He died for all of the sins of some of the people, which is what Scripture says. I laid down My life for the sheep. He hath made Him sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of Christ in Him. Who would have said that? Who would have come up with that? Who would have said that Almighty God, concerning His people, loved them with an everlasting love? And He would not let them perish. And that He came into this world as their representative and lived before God, before God's law, establishing as a man, the man Christ Jesus. He lived before God Almighty and humbling Himself and making Himself of no reputation, the man, Christ Jesus, established the righteousness of God. Righteousness that is imputed, charged to, put to the account of all that believe on Him. Who would have said that? Who would have said that he would come into this world and bear the guilt in his own body and answer by his shed blood every demand of the law for justice and put their sins away and then cast their sins as far as the east is from the west? And that right now, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which be in Christ Jesus. Justified before the law of God. No record. You've heard me say that before. When you say justified, remember, no record. No record. No record. Who would have said that? Who would have said, in closing, that He would make men and women vessels of His mercy to be the recipients of His Spirit, that we would receive the earnest of our salvation? Who would have said that He would create a new man, His people, joined in precious union with the Lord Jesus Christ? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Who would have said that? Who would have come to that conclusion? And who would have said that His people are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ? I hear that, I know it, I believe it. I'm thinking, joint heirs with Him. Who would have said that? Who would have said that? And who would have said, according to His promise, that He's coming back to receive His own unto Himself? That where He is, there they may be also. Father, I will that those that You've given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. Who would have said that? Only God could say that. And I pray that the Lord might give us faith to believe. Lord, we believe. Help our unbelief. Amen. All right.